Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Word for consideration on this Good Shepherd Sunday is found recorded in John 10, 11 through 16, where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." So far the text. Christ Jesus, our living Redeemer, dear fellow redeemed, the dozens of names that are recorded on the pages of Holy Scripture that are given to Jesus, one that ranks high on the list of favorites is Shepherd. And how Jesus got that name and why he applied it to himself certainly isn't hard for us to comprehend. Tradition of shepherding was a big part of the Jewish culture and heritage into which Christ was born. Famous Jewish patriarchs like Abraham was a shepherd. David, the shepherd boy. Remember the story of how he was out in the field keeping the flock of his father Jesse near Bethlehem when Samuel, at God's direction, anointed David to be the next king of Israel. The imagery of sheep and shepherds was stamped all over Jewish literature. Isaiah wrote, for example, the coming Savior would feed his flock like a shepherd. Micah prophesied, beautiful Christmas verse, "You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." And the picture of Christ, our shepherd, is brought into even clearer focus in the New Testament scriptures. Recall how Jesus, he told a parable with reference to himself about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and when one of them got lost, left the 99 in the open country and went out to find him until he located him, brought him back to safety. And once he cast his eyes over a crowd of people on the Lake Galilee shoreline, his heart was deeply moved, we are told, because he could see right into their hearts and notice that they were like sheep who did not have a shepherd. And now in our text, Jesus taps into this same imagery. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we want to spend some time examining this very special name of Christ and receive encouragement to thank our God for good shepherds. First and foremost, for the Good Shepherd, Christ, who gave his life for us as sheep. Then also for all under-shepherds of Christ who faithfully tend his flock. And on this Mother's Day, also for mothers who lovingly nurture Jesus' lambs. But first, some background information on the words of Jesus here in our text. What's going on at the time? What prompted Jesus to utter the words written in the Good Shepherd chapter? Well, in the previous chapter, John 9, we are told how he was walking with his disciples down a street of Jerusalem when they, Jesus and his disciples, came across a man who had been born blind. Disciples saw him. They asked Jesus, "Whose sin caused that man's congenital vision problem?" his parents' sins, maybe, or his sins? Jesus said, no, neither. God allowed this to happen so that his power might be revealed in that man. And that's when Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, applied it to the man's eyes, told him to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam. And when he did that, he was blessed by Jesus with perfect vision. That miracle caused quite a stir in the city, as you can imagine. People who knew that blind man from the time he was born and probably had watched him begging on the roadside for years wondered how he could now see. Of course, he then told them all about it. Man called Jesus, made some mud, smeared it on my eyes, told me to go wash in the Siloam pool. When I did that, I got my sight. News also spread of Jesus' deed of love to the ears of the Pharisees. And when they also brought that man in for questioning, how did this happen? He told them everything. A man named Jesus, he made some mud and daubed it on my eyes and told me to go wash and came back seeing. A man who's a wonderful prophet of God. Pharisees over, he didn't like that talk about Jesus in glowing terms. But when the man kept insisting, truly, he's a man of God. He couldn't have done what he did unless he were a man of God. It's kind of wonderful to me that you can't acknowledge that. The Pharisees got so upset, they denounced him with slurs and threw him out on the street as a good-for-nothing fool. But when Jesus heard about it, he located that man and blessed him not only with the knowledge that he was a prophet of God, but the very Son of God. And it's at this point, John 10, we read, Jesus spoke the words of the Good Shepherd chapter. When he refers to himself in this chapter as the Good Shepherd, he was letting that man know and everybody know he is the pure and holy Son of God, and that the work that his Father gave him to do, which of course was laying down his life for the sheep on the cross to atone for our sins, was very good. His work of healing us of our congenital disease that we are all born with, referred to sometimes as original sin or birth sin, and then making good also for all the sins we commit during our lives of thought and word and deed, referred to many times as actual sins, both original and actional sins, the Good Shepherd atoned for by his death on the cross. Jesus is also the Good Shepherd on account of all that he continues to do for us throughout our lives. Sheep, as you probably know, are docile creatures, helpless, known also to be among the most stupid of critters in the animal kingdom. Sheep cannot locate water when they get thirsty, even if it's right over the next brow of a nearby hill, need somebody to lead them there. Gurgling stream's there, but they can't find it unless somebody leads them, their shepherd. And if they stumble into a ravine and roll over onto their backs, they can't right themselves on their own either. They don't have the ability to do that. And of course, sheep also do not possess claws or fangs to fend off predators. They are defenseless. Fair game for lurking wild animals. So can you see why the Bible employs that picture for us humans, as sheep, and why Good Shepherd is so fitting a name for Jesus and very, very comforting for us, because he nourishes us, our souls, by leading us, Psalm 23, the green pastures of his word, beside the still waters of his sacraments, which he uses to assure us of his forgiving love, guide us during our lives by the staff of his word, which we wouldn't have been able to do by ourselves. We couldn't have located that beautiful stream of water in the Bible for our souls on our own. And the Lord also protects us as our shepherd from the predators that we face in the wild wilderness of a sinful world. The devil, of course, he's that roaming lion, lurking and looking for someone to devour. And the Lord protects us from, through his word, the hollow philosophies of the unbelieving world. Truly, he is the good shepherd, and how blessed we are to know and to follow him. To be able to say, I'm Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. For my shepherd gently guides me, knows my needs and well provides me, loves me every day the same, and even calls me by my name. In other words, he knows you individually and personally, all of your individual needs. In our text, let's also note, or through our text, how Jesus, the good shepherd, contrasts himself with shepherds who are not good, or hirelings. Hirelings were shepherds whom the sheep owner would take on as hired men to look after their sheep, but because these men did not have a vested interest in the sheep, they didn't own them, they considered it their work just to be a job that they were getting to get some pay. And at the first sign of danger, maybe a wolf swooping in, or maybe a pack of wolves coming in near the sheep, they'd run away and let the wolves have their way, scattering the flock. The hireling flees, Jesus says, because he's a hireling. He does not care about the sheep. Now, by the hireling, Jesus was, first of all, picturing those religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, who had no concern for the spiritual well-being of the people that they served, like that blind man, for example. Jesus cured in love. They should have welcomed and encouraged and joined with God in praising the Lord for his wonderful compassion, but no. They didn't really care about the spiritual welfare of that man. Jesus is also picturing, friends, by hirelings, all the spiritual leaders of our day who do not truly love the souls that they serve but are motivated by a desire for earthly riches and honors. Preachers, for example, who do not provide their hearers with a well-balanced diet of law and gospel. Remember, the law shows us our sins. The gospel shows us our Savior. They don't talk about the damning nature of sin because, well, it's not politically correct. And they do not speak about the importance of daily repentance and looking to Jesus for forgiveness. And many fail to present the gospel, the core teaching of the Bible, in all of its sweetness. They may say, yeah, Jesus did his part, but there are still things you need to do to supplement Christ's work before he will accept you, turning the Bible, in effect, into a rule book that you need to comply with before God will forgive you, instead of just laying out the sweet gospel in all of its fullness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is our good shepherd, the propitiation, or the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, we thank the Lord for continuing to provide his church with under-shepherds who tend his flock faithfully with teachers and pastors and others who speak to us and do not hesitate to speak to us the whole counsel of God, who have a true concern for our eternal welfare, who proclaim in Jesus' name not always what our ears want to hear, but what our hearts need to hear for the blessing of our souls in Jesus' name. And what a comfort to know, by the way, that the Lord ascended up on high promises to continue to provide his church with such gifts, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for equipping his saints for the works of ministry in his kingdom and for building up and strengthening his church, his sheep. Finally, on this Mother's Day Sunday, we want to thank the Lord for mothers who tenderly nurture his lambs. Make it their priority, along with Christian fathers, to pass on the saving truths of Holy Scripture to their children, mothers who endeavor prayerfully to bring up their little ones in the Lord's admonition. And Psalm 78 comes to mind, where Psalmist speaks of this, who tell the generation to come the Lord's praises, his strength, the wonderful works that the Lord has done, that they, that is the children, may arise and declare them to their children, and that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep the Lord's commands. What a blessing. Mothers and fathers who the Lord uses and raises up to tend his lambs in Christ's name. By the way, another good scripture to be reminded of on Mother's Day in this connection, it's written in Paul's letter to the young pastor Timothy, where he wrote in chapter 1 of his second epistle, that without ceasing, Timothy, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, Timothy, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. So Paul shared right at the beginning of the second epistle how his heart was bringing over with gratitude to God as he thought about how God had blessed Timothy's mother and grandmother with an authentic faith in Jesus, which they had then in turn passed down to him. Because of that, Timothy's training when he was young from his mother and grandmother that Paul could write later on in the same epistle, Timothy, you must continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood, actually the Greek has from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise from salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, we thank the Lord for blessing us with Eunice's and Lois's still today, and others whom the Lord may use to fill that a very important role as our good shepherd. And I'd like to close this morning with a story of a man, his name was G. Campbell Morgan, British evangelist and preacher who lived from the years 1863 to 1945. He had four sons who all were preachers too. And someone once came into the living room where his family had gathered, probably a relative. He thought he'd see just how Howard, might have been the oldest of the sons, one of the four, what he was made of. So he asked Howard, "Howard, who's the greatest preacher in your family?" Bear in mind, his dad was a preacher for many years. In fact, I read about how he preached his first sermon when he was 13 years old. How did Howard answer? Well, he had great admiration for his father. He looked straight at him, well, in a moment's hesitation, turned his eyes and said, "Mother." As much as he admired his father, he also appreciated how his mother had played an integral role in his spiritual upbringing and grounding him in the saving truths of Jesus' word. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, let's lift our hearts in gratitude to the Lord for blessing us with mothers who nurture his lambs. Also for under-shepherds the Lord provides to faithfully tend his flock, and especially for the Good Shepherd Jesus, who gave his life for us as sheep and who promises us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand." Amen. May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen.
Salvation.